Hi, this is Rabbi Ari Spiegler with the Zman Kila Lakol podcast. God willing, the Shabbos will be reading from Parshat Truma. And Parshat Truma, as we know, begins the Torah's discussion, it's a long discussion, of the construction of the Mishkan. This week and next week, we read about the actual commands to construct the physical structure of the Mishkan, the kelim, the vessels, as well as the Bigdei Kehuna, the priestly garb. And toward the end of Sefer Shemot, we learn about the fulfillment of those commands, the actual building of each one of those elements. Now, there's a well-known dispute regarding the timing for the command to build Mishkan and its many kelim. Rashi and the Ramban, they disagree as to how we understand the timing of the events leading up to this command to build the Mishkan. And long before them, already in the Midrashim and the Zohar, there are different approaches, different perspectives regarding the matter. So, for example, the Ramban writes that we should just follow the simple reading of the Torah. Meaning, according to the simple reading of the Torah, the mitzvah to build the Mishkan that we read about at the beginning of our parsha, that was given immediately after the events at Har Sinai, immediately after Matan Torah, which Parshat Mishpatim concluded with. In fact, he writes that the very purpose of the Mishkan was actually to capture the Har Sinai experience. If you look toward the beginning of this week's parsha, the Ramban in his commentary says, "V'sod haMishkan, the secret of the Mishkan, the reason behind all of it, hu shiyeha kavod asher shachan al Har Sinai shochin alav b'nistar." The goal was to take that great revelation of Hashem, the Shekhinah, Hashem's divine essence, which descended upon the mountain on top of Har Sinai at the time of the giving of the Torah. We want to take that with us in the Mishkan. We want it to have that very same experience in the Mishkan. We want to take that with us. We want to concretize that experience. So he understands you have Har Sinai, you have Matan Torah, and then the command to construct the Mishkan. Unfortunately, while Moshe is still on top of Har Sinai, the Jewish people, they sin with the Chet HaEgel, the sin of the golden calf. Then you have the aftermath of the Egel, meaning the people's punishment, Moshe's tefillot on behalf of Bnei Israel, the resolution of that story. And then finally, you have the renewal of the mitzvah of building Mishkan, which we're going to learn about in the parashiyot of Vayakhel and Pekudei, which will come toward the end of Sefer Shemot. That's how the Ramban understands it. That's how the Zohar understands the order of events. And it's very compelling because they just say, read the events as they are laid out for us in the Chumash. Rashi, however, following the Midrashim, he invokes the rule of Ein Mukdam Umeuchar BaTorah. He says, no, the Torah is not always read or written in chronological order. In fact, sometimes things are written out of order. So if you look in Rashi, this is in Shmot Perek Lamed Aleph Pasuk Yidchad, he says, Ein Mukdam Umeuchar BaTorah. He says, no, the Torah is not always written in chronological order. And he says, Ma'aseh Ha'egel Kodem Letzivui Melech Namishkan Yamim Rabim Haya. He says, actually, the sin of the golden calf came long before the commands that we're reading about in this week's parsha of the construction of the Mishkan. And even though we have not yet learned about Chet HaEgel, we haven't yet learned about the story of the golden calf, he says, that actually came before the command that we read about in this week's parsha. How do I know that? Sharei b'shiva asar b'tamuz nishtabru ha-luchot. Because he says, I know that the luchot, they're broken on the 17th of Tammuz. We know that we fast nowadays for that. He says, V'yom ha-kippurim mitratz HaKadosh Baruch Hu l'Yisrael. And it was only on Yom Kippur that Hashem forgives the Jewish people for the sin of the golden calf. We know that we mark Yom HaKippurim as a day of atonement, a day of forgiveness, of course. And then he says, ulemacharat, and it was only after Hashem forgives the Jewish people on Yom Kippur, hitchilu b'nidvan hamishkan. That's when they started to give their money. That's when they started to donate the materials toward the construction of the Mishkan. They build Mishkan, and ultimately, v'ukam becha b'nisan, it goes into use on Rosh Chodesh Nisan. So that's how Rashi understands the events. He basically says, even though we're reading about the construction, the command to construct Mishkan. Now it actually takes place after the story of Chet HaEgel, which we won't read about for another 2 weeks. Okay, very good. Some ask, why is it that Rashi prefers to read the events out of order? So it's not totally clear. It's possible that Rashi, the Midrashim, they agree with the Ramban, Soda Mishkan. They agree that the purpose of the Mishkan is to capture the Har Sinai experience, and therefore thematically it makes sense to introduce that over here, even though chronologically it didn't happen until later. But why Rashi, why the Midrashim prefer to read things out of order? That's a topic of a different podcast. That's a different episode altogether. So instead, let's focus on a beautiful idea of the Shemish. Shem Yishmol, he notes this fundamental machlok between Rashi and the Ramban, between the Midrashim and the Zohar. When does this command come to play? Is it specifically right now after the giving of the Torah before Chet HaEgel, or does it take place only after Chet HaEgel, even though we're reading about it right now? So he suggests that this is not just a technical dispute regarding the chronology of these events. He argues that at the heart of the debate surrounding the timing of Hashem's command to build the Mishkan lies a very, very fundamental question. He says, what is it that fuels our connection to Hashem? What gives me the drive to try to do better, to try to cleave to Hashem in a greater way, to improve my avodat Hashem? What is the impetus for those types of feelings? Is it the soaring heights of a spiritual revelation, like one that was experienced at Har Sinai? Or does it emerge from a broken heart? Does it emerge from the depths of tshuva, of repentance, forged in the crucible of our own failings? What causes us to be connected to or drives us to become even more close to Hashem? So as the Shem Yishmol writes, he says, on the one hand, he says, if you think about it, on the one hand, the great feeling, the soaring highs that they must have felt, the great love after the revelation of Hashem at Har Sinai, that was likely an emsa'i, that was likely a medium through which there could be more Hashrat HaShechina. So they have this amazing experience at Har Sinai, and they're so moved, they're so inspired that they say, we got to concretize this. And Hashem says, let's build a Mishkan. They say, yes. And they excitedly give all of their materials. They're excitedly involved in the campaign to build the Mishkan. That's what inspired the people. That's what kindled their emotions that they expressed through their generous donation. He says that's one possibility. But he says, on the other hand, you have Ushvirat Halev, a broken heart, that Shuvah Hagdola, the great act of repentance, Achar Chida Egel, Hayu Em Sa'ila Shrad Ashkina B'Mishkan HaNaseh B'Geshem Achar Achid. He says that also could be a form of inspiration. That also could have been what inspired the people to get involved. Meaning what? Rashi the Midrashim, they posit that at that lowly moment, during that Shuvah process following the Chida Egel, that moment of abject failure, that was the source of their inspiration. Meaning what? What inspires the Bnei Yisrael to give so enthusiastically to this project? Why were they so bought in? Was it because they were still on a high from the Har Sinai experience? Well, it's definitely a possibility, and that's likely how the Ramban and the Zohar would learn, right? And we can relate to such a phenomenon, right? We have a really powerful Ne'ilah experience. So we run to build our sukkah immediately afterward. Or maybe I'll write a check. I'll make a donation to give some tzedakah because I'm so moved. I'm so inspired. I'm on such a high after Yom Kippur. But maybe, just maybe, maybe the Bnei Yisrael were totally bought in, not because they were on a high, but maybe because they felt so lowly that they wanted to show Hashem that they recognized the mistake of their ways, the mistake of Cheda Egel. They wanted to show Hashem that they were engaged in a real tshuva movement. They wanted to make amends. They wanted things to go back to the way they were before the sin, or perhaps to make the relationship even stronger after the sin. That's likely how Rashi and the Midrashim were learning. And we could probably relate to that approach as well. Why is it that Ne'ilah is so powerful? For all the above reasons, because we really want Hashem to forgive us, and we really want Him. We really want to make things better between us, and we really will do whatever it takes to make that clear to Hashem. So when we're offered an opportunity to do a mitzvah after a ne'ilah, we're like, of course, you jump at the opportunity because you feel like you've let Hashem down. Those are two different ways to draw close to Hashem. It could come from a spiritual success, but it could also come, it could definitely come from a spiritual failure. It could come from a simcha, from a happiness, but it could also emanate from shivron lev, from being brokenhearted. And we know that ultimately, really both are true. You don't have to take a stance on this issue. Really, both really do inspire and motivate us, right? Inspiration and growth, they can stem from two opposite sources. It could come from a lofty spiritual experience, or unfortunately, from a moment of failure. Our bond with Hashem, it can be kindled by two distinct fires. You have the radiant glow of this divine encounter, the great fire that took place on Har Sinai, that awe-inspiring revelation. But there's also the flickering embers of tshuva that are stoked in the aftermath of our worst sins. Sometimes we feel inspired by experiences of love and enthusiasm when we marvel at Hashem's immense blessings in this great world, and we're grateful for all the kindness that He gives to us, that He showers upon us, and those feelings bring us close to Hashem. But sometimes when we sin and our sins separate us from Him, we feel heartbroken afterwards. Sometimes it's not even from our sin. Sometimes things go on in our life, challenges, difficulties that make us feel distance from Hashem, and that inspires us, it encourages us to want to get closer to Hashem. We seek Hashem for the farthest distances of the world, and we feel like we can't exist without Him, that we're lost, and we need Hashem to bring us back. Those are also feelings that bring us closer to Hashem. So you have these two different possibilities, says the Shem Yishmol, and it's a very long piece, and he goes into all the different details, the command before Cheda Egel, you have the actual construction afterwards, but he says that behind these two approaches are really two different ways to be inspired to draw close to Hashem. I think right now we do find ourselves to some extent in a period of Shvirat Alev. And in the aftermath of October 7th, the ongoing captivity of our hostages, the battles raging with Hamas and Hezbollah, and a global surge in anti-Semitism. So we have to remind ourselves that even though it might feel like a period of Shvirat Alev, of being brokenhearted, ultimately we have to channel that. We can take that and we can inspire ourselves to become improved in our Avodah Hashem. That just like the Bnei Israel in their darkest hour after the Cheda Egel, they found the strength to rise up from the sin of the Egel HaZahav and to build a sanctuary for the divine, to build a Mishkan for Hashem, we also have the ability and we must. We're given the mission, we're given the challenge to channel our broken hearts into vessels of inspiration. And we daven that our inspiration should come from bracha, it should come from simcha, it should come from happiness and lofty spiritual experiences, 100% only good things and not from broken hearts. But at the end of the day, if our hearts are broken, we need to channel that into inspiration as well. So may we all be blessed with the strength to turn all of our moments, be they good or chas v'shalom, not so good, and there should be many more good moments, many more spiritual highs than, God forbid, the opposite. But we should find the strength to turn all of our moments into opportunities for growth. And God willing, may our love and our desire for a greater connection to Hashem guide us through those difficult times. If we channel those difficult times into inspiration, if we channel them into opportunities to grow closer to Hashem, then of course, He will help us weather each and every one of those storms. Shabbat shalom.